continued. Okay, I know all the young people today don't understand. How many of you know that when you used to watch shows before there was Netflix and Prime and Disney Plus and Hulu and all of that other kind of stuff, this was like the three worst words that you could see at the end of either a movie or a television show? Now, you young people don't understand, because when your episode's over, if it's to be continued, you just click on episode 2 and move on. That didn't happen for us. If there was a show on, it didn't come on for another week. And before DVRs and VCRs, if you missed that episode, that was it. You don't get to back up and catch up. The young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But all the older people, not old, just older people, can I get an amen? This was frustrating. So, I mean, does anybody know, just out of curiosity, recognizing graphics, what this specific one is from? Everybody knew. Back to the Future. Yeah, remember, like, Marty squares away everything with his parents and his life is actually better because he changed the past, which should be a big promoter when people are like, we shouldn't build a time machine and mess with the past. I'm like, really? Marty made his life better. But at the end of the first one, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everything's great. He's about to kiss Jennifer. And then Doc pulls in and he's like, Marty, you got to go to the future with me. He's like, it's your kids. They're all kinds of messed up. And he's like, all right, I'm going to jump in. And then he backs up and he says, hey, you don't have enough road to get up to 88 miles per hour. And he says, roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. And unfortunately, that date has come and gone, and I still don't see one flying car. But you know the part, like, right, the tires turn in, it hovers up in the air, and then he goes and shoots out in the lightning, and then this comes up at the end of the movie, and we're like, ah! But it kind of concluded, but then it left it open. And then there was Back to the Future 2, which was the worst out of all of them. I didn't get a lot of amens. I think that's my favorite one. So this is specifically from Back to the Future. But TV was the worst. Like, I liked X-Files. I still love X-Files to this day. But X-Files had a bad habit of when it would get towards the end of the season, right? You're like watching this, and you guys know what I mean. You're watching it, and you're looking at the clock, and you're like, this is not going to wrap up in time. You're like, Mulder's on the ship. He's going after the alien bounty hunter. He's out in the middle of nowhere. There's no way this is going to conclude in time. And then certain things happen. You're looking. It's like 2 minutes left, and then all of a sudden, the screen goes black, and it says, to be continued. It was the worst. I'm going somewhere with this. This is going to play into the message today. One of the most memorable to be continued from my childhood, and you're going to realize after I tell this story that I don't worry about pride. So I was watching this show. It was pretty popular during my time, and it was a particular episode where these two girls, let's call them Brenda and Kelly, they really liked the same guy. And let's call him Dylan. And this whole episode, they're going through, like, you got to choose one of us, all right? And so it's getting to the end of the episode, and he's looking down the hallway in the school, and they're both standing there, and he closes his locker, and he's walking over there to choose, and then the screen goes blank, and it says, to be continued. And that was the end of the season, so I couldn't even wait till next week. I had to wait till next year. Most of you who don't know what that show is have probably way more respect for me than the ones that do know what that show is. So you know what? I was thinking about this, that the all-time to be continued, even though it didn't say to be continued, but it was a constant to be continued, which I never understood. And I didn't find out about it until I was really little and stayed a couple nights at my grandma's house. There were these shows that were on during the day for moms that stayed home. Anybody know what those were called? Soap operas. soap operas were always to be continued. I never understood this. I'm like looking at my grandma, like, you know, I don't even know why she was letting me sit in the room watch this. And I'm trying to follow along, and I'm like, well, it didn't end. She's like, well, you got to watch it tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm staying the night. I'll watch it tomorrow. Watching it tomorrow, a little bit more happens, and then it ends. And I'm like, Grandma, what happened? Well, you got to watch it tomorrow. But you know what? That was genius, because I'm sure there were lots and lots and lots of housewives that watched soap operas. Any in here want to put their hand up? Oh, my wife! But that was a perpetual to be continued, right? There was never any resolution, and it was genius because it kept people watching. And then as I was reading my notes today, this hit me today, is I felt like the Lord was saying to this, that, you know, sometimes when we have a conversation, I really think that God is like the funniest guy ever. I know he's not a guy, he's God, but we got our sense of humor from somewhere, right? So I'm re-looking through my notes, and I'm like, I hate to be continuance. And he said, that's why you're a one-and-done preacher. And some of you who are, if you're visiting here, you don't know what that means, is that it is painstaking to me to have to do a series, which is why I only do it when the Holy Spirit says do it, because otherwise I would rather just preach one message, have a conclusion, and then we'll do another one next week instead of going, this is part one of three. And all that is fancy words by the end of part one is to be continued. So today, even though the title is to be continued, I guarantee you this is just a one-off message today. So if you have your app, the notes are going to be on the screen, but if you have your app, you can scroll down to the notes section and click on that. That's what I'm going to do. So the reason I spent all this time about to be continued is, spoiler alert, this is the Christian life. The Christian life is always to be continued. And I'm telling you, even in my personal walk, like when I'm reading the scriptures and I come across something, how many of you get, this happens to you, where you're reading the scriptures, you maybe read it 100 times, but this time something brand new just pops off the page at you. And there's times, and my brother had to call me out on it, is like, I'll see something and I'm like, this is the revelation of all revelations. I don't need to learn anything else in the Bible of this. This is the pinnacle. And then I'll go, and then I'll talk to my brother. If you don't know, my brother is on staff at a church in Kansas. And I'll be like, hey, I got this revelation from the Holy Spirit. This is the revelation of all revelations. And he's like, you have used that phrase with me 3 other times. Meaning that now the ones that I thought were all the revelation of the revelation have now taken a side seat to this one. But it's because of my failure to understand that whether it's hearing the word, studying the word, doing the word, going out in the world, being light, being love and shining, it's always to be continued. But I know, and I have met some believers that I have talked to, and they're just like, yeah, I don't really read the Bible very much anymore because I just figure I got the gist of it. Or you know what? Like, I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old. I've done a lot of serving, a lot of volunteering in my church. So, like, you know, I retired from my job, and I feel like I'm just done with church, too. And I'm not making this up. I've met people like this. And I believe it's because they don't understand that for the believer, it's always to be continued. This is the word that the Lord gave me. My friend Cliff, who's sitting right there, he would use a different word. He would call the Christian walk the infinite game. It's not a finite thing, right? You're not going to get so far and then you've arrived. It's infinite. It's ongoing. And it not only is it infinite here, but it moves beyond into the next life. And so what I want to talk about today is the Bible actually talks about, it's not about achieving a certain mentality of understanding the word. It's not achieving so many works. It's a constant walk, a constant to be continued with the Lord. So let's look at the first verse here, John 8, 31. So if you have your physical Bibles, your droids, your iPhones, and it'll be on the screen. John 8, 31 through 32 says this. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but it's an important point. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him. So he's not talking to people who he's trying to get to believe him. It uses, in the Greek, the past tense word, who had believed him. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had already believed him. If you continue. That word can also be abide, but the Greek word, it can also mean continue. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. It's an if-then statement, right? If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So this is saying, if you continue in my word, not if you hear my word and you're like, yeah, that's good stuff. I think I pretty much got the gist of it. You know, Jesus is love and, you know, he died for us and all of that stuff. I got it. No. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. So apparently truth is not just knowing the truth as, and then you just stop and going, this is what the truth is. It's a constant revelation of truth. Would you all agree, any of you who have been walking with the Lord for some time would say that the truth that he has revealed to you is greater than when you first began? And some of us have been walking for a long time and saying there's still more truth to be known. And really, it's not always just the accumulation of truth, but the more that you walk in truth, that becomes your reality despite all the other false reality that's around us in this world. Jesus contrasted truth and lies. He would talk about, you know, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for the tooth. I tell you, don't resist an evil person. If someone hits you on your right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. That is completely contrary to culture today. But it's the words of Jesus. Culture says that when your enemies come against you, you take them out first. Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who use you and abuse you. Usually it's pretty quiet when you talk about that scripture. Why? And that's the thing. That's why we're still constantly in the walk. I've had people, and I think that this is good. I think false humility is bad. I've talked to people when I'd say, well, what about this scripture here? And they'll say to me, Pastor, I'm not there yet. And you know what? That's okay. As long as you understand that this is a biblical truth and this is the words of Jesus, but to be able to say, I'm not there yet. And I can give you a scriptural example of that. Jesus, after he died and he rose again, he's meeting with the apostles and he's talking to Peter. And you know, Peter, the last time he saw Jesus, he denied him three times. So now you've got, you're moving forward. He's died. He died on the cross other than two ladies and John were there. So his mother, the other Mary, and John were at the cross. All the other disciples left. So he's talking to Peter, and it doesn't pull it out fully in the English. It has an even greater understanding in the Greek. You understand that in the Greek, there are different words for love. The love of God is an agape love. It's a life laying down love. It's a what I would call a move beyond feelings love. And that doesn't sound very romantic, but romantic is more of an eros or a phileo type of love. Agape is, I'm going, you know, when we talk about married couples, for rich, for poor, for better, for worse, till death do us part. Agape love is, I love you when everything is awesome, and I love you when everything is terrible. So when Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? The Greek word is, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you, which means strong emotion for, or like a friendship, a brotherly type of love. Phileo comes from, when it talks about the church in Philadelphia, in the Bible, Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. That's where phileo comes from. So Jesus says, do you agape me, Peter? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. And then it says a second time, Jesus asked Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. So what is Jesus saying? Peter, are you willing to lay down your life for me? Are you ready to die for me? Is that the kind of love you have for me? And he says, Lord, I got a brotherly affection towards you. And I think that he was doing this because he already knew that his faith had been put to the test and that he failed. And so what is he saying? I'm not there yet. I've got strong, intense feelings for you, like you're my brother, but I'm not there yet. And then it says a third time, Jesus changes the word love and he says, Peter, do you phileo me? And it says in the text that it says that Peter, like his countenance dropped, he hung his head because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? Now, the obvious text in English, people would say, well, he was sad at the third time because he knew he was asking him three times because he denied him three times. And I don't disagree that that might not be the case, but it's also because Jesus changed the question. He's not asking, Peter, you ready to die for me? He's saying, do you love me like a brother? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I phileo you. And what does Jesus give him permission to do? Feed my sheep. So this is I want you to take this nugget and keep it for yourself. You don't have to be at the pinnacle of faith, the height of holiness, the height of righteousness. By the way, you're already holy and righteous because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. But how many sometimes that you your emotions mess with you and some days you feel more holy than others? But Peter's saying, listen, Jesus, this is where I'm at. And because Peter didn't boast of where he wasn't, Jesus said, feed my sheep. So we don't have to be at this place where we know we're not. We just have to come before God. We need to be humble and just go, here's where I'm at. I'm not here yet. That doesn't mean I'm not going to eventually get there. And even Jesus says that because he tells him later that when you get older, they're going to pick you up and take you where you don't want to go. And of course, if you read about the martyrdom of the disciples, which is not in the Bible, but there's historical text, Peter is hung upside down on a cross because he didn't feel worthy to die the same way that Jesus did. So he was hung upside down. So Jesus prophesies about his death. So Peter's like, listen, I'm not ready to die for you yet. Jesus says, feed my sheep. But obviously Peter eventually got to that place because he did die. So the lesson in that is just to say, let's stay humble. Let's admit to where we're at, not where we want to be. But as long as it's always a to be continued, then as that continues on, then you will grow in your Christian walk. Let's go on to the next verse. Okay, for the rest of this, we're going to be in John chapter 15. We're going to start off in verse 4. And this is talking about continuing. So John 15, 4 says this. This is the words of Jesus. Continue in me, and I will continue in you. What is the emphasis on the continuing? The choice is whose. You know, people are like, why has God abandoned me? Like, again, our feelings lie to us and say, why has God abandoned me? God said he will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And then people get into all these theological debates. Well, do you believe in once saved, always saved? I believe that God created us with free will. And if we choose at any point in our walk to say, Jesus, I'm done with you, or I no longer believe, or you let this happen to me, so I'm done, we can walk away from our salvation at any point. Otherwise, we don't have free will, and we don't have a say in anything. And then that gets weird really fast. So this says, if you continue in me, then I will continue in you. And many of you know this verse. We're just going to read through it. As the branch is not able to produce fruit unless it continues in the vine, so neither can you unless you continue in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The person who continues in me and I continue in him will produce much fruit. So what's the purpose of continuing in each other, us in Christ, Christ in us? To produce what? Fruit. Separate from me, you are not able to do anything. The fruit thing is important. People always want to have debates on, you know, are we saved by grace? Are we saved by works? The Bible clearly says we are saved by grace through faith. And then people say, well, what about James? Faith without works is dead. It's all about the heart motivation. If you are doing works to secure your salvation in heaven, then you are not under grace. Someone once said it like this, which is, I love the way that it's phrased. You are not saved by works. You are saved for works. Right? Your salvation, knowing how loved you are, how accepted you are, that you're a joint heir with Jesus, that you will inherit heaven, that God, the creator of space, time, and existence, you get to cry out, Abba, Father. All of this reality should change us to the point where fruit is a natural byproduct. I don't know, I'm not a branch or a shoot off of the main line, but my assumption is that that branch does not have to strive to bear fruit. It just naturally does it because it's connected to the vine or the tree. And so sometimes we think, well, I got to do more. I got to try more. I missed this opportunity, all of that. Just get back to the understanding of everything that you already have in Christ, and fruit is a natural outflow of that. And why is it important to continue so that you may produce fruit? You understand that fruit is produced in seasons, right? So again, it's always a to be continued. It's not great. Like in this season, I bore so much fruit. It was awesome. Yay, me. When you had nothing to do with it. Because this says, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Yeah, that's the best way to stay in humility, is anytime you make a mistake, just say, my bad. And anything you do something awesome, it's, that was Jesus. And it's simple. Just stay in that place. Because if you boast of anything that you do, you're taking away the glory from God. And I've learned in 20 years of marriage that when I'm wrong, just admit it right away so we can move on. Men, if you haven't figured that out yet, just do it. It makes things a lot easier. I'm not talking about, you know, you getting into a weird place where you're like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. If she said you did something wrong, then just say, I did. I was wrong, honey. Will you forgive me? And then she says yes, and then we just move on. It sounds lovely. Too good to be true. It works, I'm telling you. So the continuation is about bearing fruit. Here's a great example with this, with a parable that Jesus gave. And Jesus said this about this parable. He says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all the parables? Does anybody know what that parable was? It's the parable of the grounds. It's as if a man sows seed. And then the first ground, it talks about the birds came and got it. And Jesus explains, the seed doesn't even penetrate because it's the rocky ground. It's the side of the road. And immediately the devil comes and steals the word. So that's the word falls on people and they don't even believe. But then the second ground is interesting, is it says that the ground, the rocky ground where it can't get roots and it springs up quickly, maybe some of you know people like this, and maybe some of you are even praying that those people would become the good ground so this wasn't the case. Have you ever met anybody or had a friend or a family member that when they received the message of Jesus, they got on fire, they sprang up quickly and they were like, this is awesome, I love Jesus so much. But then it says when a time of tribulation comes, some worldly things start to happen, that it says immediately it shrivels up because there is no root. But the important thing is that person did believe for a time, right? And they spring up quickly. It says they spring up with joy. Have we ever done that in our own lives? Like the joy of the Lord is my strength, and then a circumstance comes and we fall apart. Brothers and sisters, that is not the Christian walk. This is not the Christian walk, despite what some Christians would tell you. I don't see Jesus living like that. I don't see him on the mountaintop and then he's in the valley losing it. And to be real, once the apostles received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I didn't see them losing it either. I'm not saying that they lived perfectly, but they lived like this. This should be the Christian walk. Little ups, little downs, but it should maintain. It should continue. Because if you're having these big swings, you're no different than the world. And that's not condemnation. It's a reality check to go, is the joy of the Lord really my strength? Or is my joy determined by my circumstances around me? It's just like the man who built his house, one on the rock and one on the sand. The one who built on the rock, the storm didn't go the other way. The storm hit both houses equally, but the one who was built on the rock, that one stood. So just because you're in Christ doesn't mean you get to avoid storms. It just means that you will stand through the storm. So going back to, as a man sows seed, then you've got the third one that says that they believe and they're actually going along pretty good, maybe years. But then all of a sudden, the worries of this life, the love of money, I mean, you could insert anything here. Well, you know, I had a family. Well, you know, I came into this debt. Well, so I got to do this. I got to take on an extra job. So I really don't have time for church or for small groups anymore. I'm just tired when I get home. I can't read my Bible. I just want to go to sleep. And what is that? That's the third ground where the weeds come up and choke the plant. Now, what does all of this have to do with this passage? Because in the parable of the sower, the ground that is separate from all the other grounds is the one that produces fruit. The parable of the sowers is in multiple gospels. One gospel says that when the thorns come up, when the weeds come up and choke the plant, it says that it chokes the plant so that its fruit never matures. Anybody have that problem in the garden? I love my wife, but she doesn't have a brown thumb. She has a black thumb. This is not a bully, Mike. I love you, dear. But like there's times where she'll start to grow something and like this never matured, or like I was waiting for the cucumbers, but then they turned yellow. So there's something going on here. It's the same thing with this parable. It's saying that the weeds came up, they choked it, and it says so that its fruit never matures. So the only, the good ground is described as a ground that bears fruit. And it doesn't even matter how much fruit. It's because it says some 30, some 60, and some 100. So we don't have to compare fruit. But for the Christian, you know, people say all the time, well, don't judge me, you know, like, you know, that feels like condemnation or whatever. You understand that these scriptures give us the right in love, and you need to be in relationship with people, to call out people about fruit. Because this clearly says that if we're going to get to it, that what happens if you don't have fruit? But again, fruit is not to prove your salvation. Fruit is a natural thing of being, of continuing in the vine. It should be natural. You should not have to strive for it. If you're striving for it, then you need to stop striving and get back into intimacy and fellowship with Jesus. And then it'll just flow. If you're in the presence of light and you are light yourself, then what does light naturally do? Shine. When you spend time with love, because God is love, you spend time with love, you learn to become love, and then you are just love everywhere you go. It's not about striving, it's about time and intimacy with our Lord Jesus. So it says, as the branch is not able to produce fruit, oh, we already did this. Okay, so separate from me, you're not able to do anything. Let's go on. Okay, verse 6. Anyone who does not continue in me is thrown away as a dried up branch. Now again, this is talking about a choice that you make to no longer continue in the vine. I want to be very clear because, like I said, people get all weird about, well, am I always saved? Am I not saved? Your salvation is contingent on what you believe. Your salvation is contingent on whether you want to continue in the vine. I don't buy into the whole, well, this person's lost. Well, yeah, well, since we believed in once saved, always saved, then the excuse is, well, then they were never saved to begin with. I bet you, if I asked you to, and you don't need to, if I asked you to put your hands up, if you have known someone that was on fire for the Lord, on fire for Jesus, was maybe even ministry, in ministry for a time, and then something happened, something in life happened, something devastating happened, and they walked away from the Lord. And to say, well, that person was never really in the Lord and begin with, is ludicrous. You don't know that person. You don't know their heart. And I would say, based on their fruit, they probably very much were in intimate fellowship with the Lord. So can you lose your salvation? I don't know if I use the word lose. You can walk away from the Lord. And if you don't believe that, you should probably read the word a little bit more, because we're going through the scriptures right here. If you do not continue me, anyone who does not continue me is thrown away as a dried up branch. The branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be destroyed. If you continue in me and my words continue in you, ask whatever you wish and it will come to pass for you. People always say, like, I'm praying. I don't see this thing happening. Why aren't my prayers being answered? You know, there's so many things that we could go through in the scriptures that talk about. You know, there's actually in the scriptures, men, if you're wondering why your prayers aren't answered, make sure your relationship with your wife is good. There's literally a scripture that talks about that if you're not in good relationship with your wife, it says so that your prayers may not be hindered. But why does it say, if you continue in me and my words continue in you, then you can ask whatever you wish? Because once you're connected with the vine, as you continue with the Lord, as you continue to walk, the Bible talks about that you will have the desires of your heart. What does that mean? Once you become more and more one with him, what he desires becomes your desires. Does that make sense? You are not in relationship with Jesus to see what you can get out of it. You are in relationship with Jesus to become more like him. It's different. Everything in the world says different. You know, we've talked about this before, that if I look at my wife and I say, I love you, but do you love me? The second part is wrong. And it gets quiet because people are like, what's wrong with that? My job is not to be here to need to be loved. My job in Christ is to be love. And if she, and she does, she reciprocates. But if she never reciprocated back to me, if I said, I love you, and she's like, I don't really like you that much. It doesn't matter if our whole marriage goes that way, but I'm just like, I love you, yeah, you're okay. It doesn't matter, because my job is not to be here to feel loved, to get loved. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, be perfect or be complete as your heavenly Father is perfect. Do you think that God is up in heaven going, man, I created these people, I loved these people, and now you know what? They're killing my son. They're always using my name in vain, all of this kind of stuff. I just don't know. Angels, come and minister to me. I'm having a really bad day. God's not like that. And you know, the Bible says be imitators of God in Ephesians chapter 5, 1, as beloved children, and walk in love just as he loved us. I'm not going to say that you're not going to have moments. We live, we're encased in flesh. I'm not saying that you don't have emotions and feelings. But again, your job here is not to go, what can I get? Jesus, I'm in relationship with you. Do you know why people end up walking away from the Lord or separating from the Lord or want a time away from the Lord? Because they were lulled into this false idea that I'm with God of what I can get out of it. And when you're with God for what you can get out of it, the moment you don't get those things anymore, now there's this separation. Now there's this time out. It's quiet in here. I'm not saying that he doesn't want to bless you. I'm not saying that he doesn't want to heal you. I'm not saying that he hasn't already paid for every single thing that you can receive in this life at the cross. But even if he never blesses you, he never does anything for you, is that gonna change your relationship with him? It's something to think about, right? I like that. It shouldn't. So we need to think about that. That goes back to the whole thing about dying to self. You're not a disciple of Jesus for what you can get out of it. You're a disciple of Jesus because you died to yourself and you joined yourself to Christ. And as he is, so are we in this world. And that's why I personally believe, and I know I'm kind of on a side note here, I'll get back to this. That's why I believe that you have Christians that walk away from the Lord, because they were promised something before they came to the altar, before they got in the water. All of those things is, if you come to Christ, you're going to have a better life. If you come to Christ, you're going to get all of these blessings. If you come to Christ, and again, I'm not saying that your life won't get better. I'm not saying that you won't have blessings, but was your motivation to come to Christ for a better life, or was your motivation to come to Christ of going, I can't do it my way anymore. I'm going to die to me, my wants, my desires, my motives, all of those things. I'm going to completely die to self. We're going to talk about this a little bit last week, but it seems like we jump past the repentance and the death, and we just want to jump into new life. And then we wonder, when we're walking in new life, while that old man that we were supposed to put in the grave and die to seems to keep coming back to life. And maybe it's because we never died to it to begin with. So he says, if you continue in me and my words continue in you, ask whatever you wish, it will come to pass for you. My Father is glorified in the production of fruit. So see, that should tell you that we're not saved by works, because the Father gets the glory from your works. It's not, hey, look at my works. Like, now do I get a bigger mansion in heaven? It says my Father is glorified by the works. Jesus said the same thing, that when people see your light shine, they will glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I know there's lots of people that are doing good works out there that may not even be Christians. But I'm saying we do good works, we produce fruit, so that when people are like, why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? Why are you doing packing sessions at Feed My Starving Children? You know, you come up to somebody who just like looks down at Walmart and saying, hey, can I pray for you? Or like, can I encourage you? Why would you do that? Because I'm just in love with Jesus, and he encourages me, and he's the light of the world to me, and I just want to be that light to you. It says, let your light so shine so they may see your good works and glorify your Father. So my Father is glorified in the production of fruit. And look what it says. This is the evidence of discipleship. It's the evidence. Right? Because he says, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Discipleship isn't salvation. Discipleship isn't conversion. Discipleship is to be continued. And look at verse 9. In the exact same way the Father loves me, in the exact same way, I have loved you. So if you want to know how much the Father loves you, look at how Jesus loves you. That's why Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Continue in my love. There's the word continue again. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love. Now, real quick, I want to highlight this point. We see over and over again, Jesus says, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And many people get tripped up over that because it's like, well, I feel like Jesus is putting us back under law. I thought you said we're not under law, but under grace. You have to understand, and we're going to see this at the end here, when you understand it as a new covenant believer, that there are not commandments. There is the commandment, a new commandment I give to you, love others as I have loved you. So when Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love. Because what is he talking about? It's again the relationship thing. If you are not loving one another as Jesus loved you, the breakdown is in your intimacy and relationship with Jesus. So basically, Jesus is saying, you can't possibly say that you love me if you're not loving other people, which is why he says, continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, loving other people, you will continue in my love. Why is he saying that? Because the evidence of continuing in his love is loving other people. Right? I mean, I'm thinking again, feed my starving children. I was hungry and you fed me. When did we see you like this, Lord? What you do to the least of these, you did it to me. We have Freedom From Within prison ministry. That's one of the other things. It talks about when the sheep and the goats are separated. I was in prison, and you visited me. And again, there's some people that'll get weird about that and go, and then all we should do is works, 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 works. It's not about church. It's not about anything. Let's just let it be about everything. It's just love. Love brought you here. Love may use you to love on somebody else here today. That's why I say, don't come to church for, you know, you're going to miss some deep revelation from me. You can watch me on YouTube and not show up here on Sunday. Please don't do that, but I'm just saying that's your option. Why do you come here? How is God going to use me to bless other people? There are people right now that are blessing your children, either in Little Climbers or in Base Camp. If they weren't here, they couldn't be a blessing to those kids. You come to church to be a blessing to others and to be a blessing to the Lord when you sing to him, when you give, when you do all of these things, when we take communion to remember him. So he says, if you keep my commandments, you will continue in my love. And Jesus says it's the same for him. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and continue in his love. Well, what was his Father's commandments? You need to go down there. You need to love them, heal them, forgive them, and then ultimately die from them, for them, take their sin away, impart your righteousness to them. That's the goal. So just as I have kept my Father's commandments and continue in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you in order to make your joy complete. So our joy is not complete without his joy. Because again, if we only have our joy, then based on the circumstances in the world, it's going to fluctuate. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why? Because if you have his joy, then you can always overcome. No matter what your situation, man, God loves me. Like, I'm his chosen one. He chose me. And again, we can go, well, you know, Pastor Josh, he chose the whole world. Yeah, that's the problem. You're not making it personal. Yes, he chose the whole world. John understood this, right? John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Does Jesus love everybody? Yeah, but John's like, yeah, he loves me. That's how you have to practice it for yourself. Because in the moments where you're being attacked, you're not going to be thinking about, well, he loves the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hands. You need to think like he loves me. Again, we've said this in here. He's got my picture on his refrigerator. He calls me his own. He calls me beloved. It's like that hymn. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And it's not something that you speak in order for it to become reality. You're speaking a reality so that your reality lines up with the reality and it becomes truth to you. Because there's a whole world of people out there that even though what we're talking about is the truth, it's not truth to them because they didn't receive it. The Bible talks about in the last days, because they did not receive the truth in the last days, a strong delusion will come over. How many of you know that we're like probably seeing the beginnings of that now? Because people think there's tons of different genders. And, you know, if I think I'm a cat, then I'm a cat. I don't know why anybody would want to think they're a dog, but. Okay, for those of you who are visiting, I don't hate dogs. It's just always the joke that I'm a cat guy. Don't get up and leave. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you in order to make your joy complete. What was he saying to you? I love you. Continue in me. Produce fruit. All of these things I'm telling you is so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. Last verse. I think it's the last verse. Oh, two more. Two more slides. So then he says, my commandment is this, love one another just as I have loved you. Again, if you're loving people less than the way that Jesus loved you, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. He says, love others exactly or just as I have loved you. The greatest display of love is laying down your life for your friends. Jesus says this, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And again, it's not law. It's talking about the proof of friendship with God is you loving others. You know, we have in 1 John 4, it says you cannot say you love God and hate your brother. And it says the person that says that is a liar. Like if you just have this thing, like I just really love God, but like people bother me. You don't love God. I'm sorry, I'm just telling you what 1 John 4 says. If you're bothered by people, get over yourself. Yeah, that usually goes over about like that. Be unoffendable. How about that? So he says, I call you friends. I don't call you slaves because slaves do not know what their master is doing. I call you friends because everything I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. Next slide. You did not choose me, but I chose you and commissioned you to go and produce much fruit. The fruit you produce should continue to be continued, continue in your fruit so that, here it is again, whatever you ask the Father in my authority, cause, character, and reputation. That's in the Greek. He's basically saying anything you ask in my name, which means authority, cause, character, and reputation, he may give to you. So again, he's talking about you ask for things he will give you because you're producing fruit, which is the evidence that you are in the vine. That he may give to you. This is what I command you to do, singular commandment, love one another. I don't think that there's anything wrong with finding out exactly what Jesus is telling to do. We've always talked about it as it comes down to love, right? I mean, no matter where we go, we were in John today, we could be in a different thing. Timothy says the goal of our instruction is love. But it shows us in here how we do that. We need to continue in the vine, continue in his love, continue in intimacy with him. And everything else is just a natural outflow from that. So it's always to be continued. You're never going to hit a point in your Christianity where you can't go any further. You can always get more revelation. You can always serve in a greater capacity. You can always do more. And that continues on into eternity.